This Communion Sunday, we take a time to remember that Jesus, when he died on the cross, he was willing to go through all kinds of pain and suffering so that we might be healed. Again, on this Communion Sunday, we want to remember that our God is a God who is able to heal us. And so we want to pray for those that are sick, for those that are that have illnesses, all different kinds of things that people might struggle with. We want to take this time to pray for those people. Now, we haven't done this in a while, and so I do want to do this. For anyone that is feeling sick today, for anyone that's been struggling with a cough, for anyone that has been struggling with some type of illness, a long-term illness, for those people that have been struggling with mental illness, for those of you that are struggling with just an ache, like a back pain or something that you've had for a long time and you just like prayer for all of you that are struggling with some type of physical or mental illness, would you please stand at this time? And we won't ask you to share what that is specifically. We just want to see who you are and pray for you. So would you please stand at this time if you are struggling with something that we could be praying for? Yeah, once again, this is not just limited to feeling sick, but for those of you that are struggling with any type of sickness, any type of illness, any type of mental illness, you can stand. And we'll be praying for you. Okay, great. So thank you for standing, and thank you for sharing with us. We're gonna pray for you guys. And for those of you that are too afraid to stand, we'll pray for you as well. But if you do stand, then we're able to know who you are and pray for you. And I do want to share, you don't have to be afraid that people know. Okay, so if you do feel that you can stand right now, please stand. But if not, we will pray for you as well. So we could look around, look to your left, look to your right, see those people that are standing. And maybe if you could just stretch a hand out toward them. You don't necessarily have to touch them, but kind of stretch a hand out toward them. And let's pray that the Lord would work in them, that the Lord would give them joy and confidence in the Lord, even through their struggle, knowing that the Lord will bring about full healing one day, but perhaps the Lord will grant healing in their lives even now. Okay, so let's take a moment to pray. I want us to pray in whispers, okay, so not out loud. We're going to pray in whispers, and then we're going to pray for each other in this way. After a few moments, I'll close us in prayer. So let's pray together. God, we thank you so much that on this Communion Sunday, we can remember that you are the God that came to this earth, that lived that perfect life, and yet suffered for our sake. And Lord, through your wounds, we have been healed. And so God, we thank you so much for what you have done, and what you will do, and what you continue to do today. God, we look forward to the day when you will return. Jesus, we look forward to the day that you will come once again and you will take us home to be with you. Lord, we look forward to that day because we know that there will be complete healing. It's going to be wonderful. And we really look forward to that day. But Lord, until that day comes, we still suffer on this earth, in this world that is still fallen. Lord, we suffer, and some of us, we're suffering with sickness. Some of us with illnesses, long-term illnesses. Some of us have cancer. Some of us are struggling with mental illnesses that some of you have shared with the Lord, and Lord, some of them have shared with me. God, we want to lift up all of these people. We want to lift up all of these people to you, Lord. And God, we ask that you would do a mighty work in the hearts of all your people, that they would find comfort and peace and your strength. Lord, I pray that you would do a wonderful work in their hearts. And Lord, if possible, if it is your desire, we do ask for healing, whether it be through medicine, whether it be through the doctor's suggestions, whether it be through exercise or a changed diet. Lord, whether it be a miracle, God, we do ask that if it is your desire to bring about healing. And so, Lord, we want to lift each and every one of these people up to you. And God, I also pray that as we look to your word now, that you would teach us, especially in today's difficult passage, Lord, I pray that you would be the one guiding our hearts. And Lord, that we would find comfort and peace in you today. And so, Lord, I lift this time up to you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You may have your seats. So we've been going through this sermon series called Jesus' Last Words. We're looking through John chapters 13 to chapter 16. This is where Jesus speaks with his disciples in their last meal together before Jesus is arrested and goes to the cross the next day. These are some of the sermon main ideas that we've spoken about in the past weeks. And one of the things that you might have noticed is that we've talked about our relationship with Jesus. Serve Jesus, love Jesus, follow Jesus. But we also talked about our relationship with one another in the church, loving one another and obeying him by following his commands, and specifically the command to love one another. And we talked about that last week as well when we talked about abiding in Jesus and producing fruit. And what that actually looks like is the specific command that Jesus has given to us is to love one another. Today, we're going to shift our focus now, and we're not going to talk about loving one another in the church, but how do we interact with people that are outside of the church? Okay, and so let's turn our Bibles today to John chapter 15, verses 18 to 27, and the title of today's sermon is Being Hated as Disciples. If you have one of these Bibles from outside, we're looking at page 902. John chapter 15, verses 18 to 27. This is the reading of God's word. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you? A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Amen. This was the reading of God's word. Some of you that have been with our church for a while, some of you guys may remember that I've shared with you guys about my friend. And one of my friends, we grew up together. He's one of my best friends. We grew up together. We went to church together. We served at the church together. I thought that maybe we might go to the same university together. We didn't. But when he went to his university and I went to my university, we both started helping out at a campus ministry. And then afterwards, I attended seminary and he also attended seminary. He didn't become a pastor, though. Later on, he attended grad school and became a research professor in the medical field. And he left the faith. He became a non-believer. And so, whenever we get together now, our conversation basically turns into a conversation of arguments about whether or not Christianity is true. And he told me even one time, he told me, my whole goal is to convert you. I'm an evangelist for atheism, is to convert you to atheism. That's what he said to me. He knows a lot about the Bible because he grew up with it. And he knows a lot about theology because he learned some of it at school. And that's what he said to me. So here's a question that I want to ask of you guys. When you become a Christian, are you supposed to get rid of all of your non-Christian friends? I remember there was a person that asked me, they were a pretty new believer, and they asked me, you know, I've been trying to hang out with some of my friends, and they're not Christian, and they would invite me to different things, but then they start to also feel a little bit embarrassed to invite me because they know that I'm a Christian now. And so, like, I know that I'm supposed to be a good witness to my friends, but if I go to a place like clubbing or drinking with them and you know, like, if I do these kinds of things, then they might influence me and you know, I might want to end up doing the stuff that I used to do. So what am I supposed to do? Do I keep these friends or not? Well, this is a little bit of what we're going to talk about today. And maybe for some of us, we've been Christians for so long, we don't have any non-Christian friends. That could be a problem too. But we do want to talk about what do we do with these non-Christian friends and how do we respond to them and what kind of responses might they have to us. And so the main idea for today is this. According to what Jesus says, we want to expect to be hated and testify as disciples. So the three points that we're going to go through today are number one, expect to be hated, number two, testify, and number three, as disciples. Once again, the main idea is that we want to expect to be hated and testify as disciples, and we're going to break it up into these three points so that we can think through this according to what the Bible teaches us. Okay, so number one, expect to be hated. If we look at what's going on in this passage, and I do want to encourage you to open up your Bibles to actually look at it. I'm not going to point to each of these verses, but I've given you a summary of these ideas. But the context that I want to share with you guys is that this is Jesus speaking to his disciples at that time. So some of the things that Jesus says may not really make sense to us in our day today. Okay, so for example, Jesus tells his disciples, you will be hated. Are we always experiencing hate from this world? Not necessarily, right? There are some places where there is persecution, but there are other places, like in Taiwan, where we might not necessarily feel government persecution, right? Jesus says to his disciples, you will be hated. And then in verse 19, Jesus says, I chose you. And what we find is that Jesus did choose his disciples, and they go on to be the church leaders in the future from their time. Verse 20, Jesus says, they will persecute you. Once again, we don't necessarily always feel persecution today. Jesus tells his disciples, I spoke to the crowds, and that's why they're guilty. And Jesus did actually speak to the crowds during that time, and they did see his miracles. And that's the next thing. He says, I perform miracles. I did the works in front of these people, and they did see the works. And so those people back then, the crowds, they did see Jesus, they did hear from Jesus, and they did see the miracles that Jesus performed. And that's why Jesus says they are guilty. Now, everyone else in the world today, have they seen Jesus? Did they see Jesus' miracles? No. And so it doesn't seem like it really applies to us. Verse 27, the disciples were with Jesus. And so in verse 27, it says that you have been with me from the beginning. And so those disciples were with Jesus from the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So then how does it apply to us today? Well, what we find is that Jesus tells his disciples that they will bear witness, that they will bear witness. And so for us today, when Jesus tells his disciples, you will bear witness, Jesus also gives this type of command to all of us who are his disciples. And some of the things that Jesus talks about with his disciples at that time, we will see examples of that in our lives, or maybe we may have heard of it in other people's lives around the world. We don't even need to look into history. We know that there are people that are being persecuted in other parts of this world today. And so as we testify about Jesus Christ, we will begin to experience the hatred that comes from this world. Once again, it may not come in the form of persecution per se, but maybe some of us have experienced times when we want to share with people about Christianity and they don't want to hear it, right? There may be times that if we really want to talk about the gospel, and some people, they talk about Jesus without talking about sin. But if you really want to talk about what the good news is, you have to talk about the sin that we have in our lives. And we need to point out the sins that exist in this world. And once you begin to start pointing out sins, people will begin to hate you. And sometimes you won't experience the hate. Sometimes what you'll experience is they won't be your friend anymore and they'll ghost you. They won't respond to your text messages anymore. They won't respond to you anymore. And they'll kind of disappear from your life. But maybe secretly in their heart, they're saying, I don't want to have anything to do with this person anymore. And so what Jesus is talking about, the exact words may not necessarily apply to us today, but the principle behind it, that when we go out and testify about Jesus Christ, when we share with others about the gospel, there will be a response that comes from the world, and that response will not always be a happy response. So let's keep talking about this. Jesus says, remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. And so if there are people that really do respond to Jesus, then we're going to see a good response. But if they don't, if they are not people that belong to the Lord, then Jesus says, a servant is not greater than his master, meaning you're not greater than Jesus. What did Jesus experience? He experienced being nailed to the cross by people previously that said they trusted in Jesus, that they believed in Jesus, that followed Jesus. So if Jesus was hated upon, that means if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you are testifying about Jesus Christ, you will also experience this hatred. So in other words, expect to be hated. Expect it. It's kind of like at our church, we talk about expect to be hurt at church. That might sound a little bit weird, but the fact is that when we are at church, every one of us has the potential of sinning against one another. If you get close to anyone in this church, you're going to experience being misunderstood. You're going to experience being hurt by someone. You're going to experience, maybe you end up saying something that you didn't really mean, but then they ended up getting hurt. And so when you come to church, a lot of people expect people to be nice and happy and the church to be a wonderful place. But no, expect to be hurt by the people at church. And in a similar way, I should finish that idea. Expect to be hurt by people at church, but also remember that as Christians, Jesus calls us to seek forgiveness and to seek reconciliation. And that's what we need to focus on as Christians, right? Expect to be hurt, but focus on forgiveness and reconciliation. Now, with this world, in a similar way, expect to be hated by this world. Because that's what Jesus said is going to happen, especially when you begin to share with others about Jesus. So if we're expected to, if we are told to expect to be hated by others, that sounds like not a very nice idea. I don't want to be hated. I want to be liked. Some of us, we struggle with this idea a lot. We don't want people to be angry with us. We really want people to be happy with us. Some of us, we really struggle with this idea. And so what do we do with this? If Jesus says, expect to be hated, what are we supposed to do with that? How should I think about this? This is where we come to this next topic about testifying. We want to testify about Jesus Christ. And again, it's because this is what Jesus tells us to do. We want to bear witness that Jesus Christ is alive, that he is actually working in our lives, that Jesus, even though sometimes I don't feel like he's actually there, sometimes I feel like he doesn't hear my prayers, but what we know is that if we look in our history, in the lives, in our lives, we see that, yes, Jesus has worked in my life, and Jesus is working in the lives of the people in this church. Jesus is working through the preaching of his word. Jesus is working today. And so we're supposed to go out and tell other people that Jesus is alive and actively working in this world today. That's what we're supposed to testify about. But as we think about this idea, we might say, I want to testify, but... And you know, some of us here, you know, some of you guys might have this experience where you hear a sermon, but then there's this, but, I know, but, and then you have all these thoughts that go through your mind, but this and that and this and that. And then so eventually you get to a point where you say, well, I guess that's why I don't necessarily have to do this. Thank you, Pastor, for the suggestion, but I don't think I could do that, right? But one thing that I was reminded of and that I wanted to remind all of us here is that a different pastor reminded me, whenever the preaching of God's word happens, and we're looking at what the Bible actually says, this is God's word for you. And so are you going to say to God, thank you, God, for your suggestion, but I don't think I could do that? No, we're expected to actually obey. Okay? So let's think through some of the thoughts that we might have. I want to testify, but what if my friends oppose me? Like the story that I shared about my friend. What if my friends oppose me? Well, that question might come up. If my friend opposes me, should I stay friends with this person? And some of you guys might ask me even after the service about what I did with this friend. Okay, but if a friend is like directly saying, I'm going to try to convert you into atheism, should you stay friends with this person? Well, maybe some of us, we might go on to think, well, you know, I don't want, what if my friends oppose me, like, and they're treating me badly? Like, I want to testify, but what if this happens? Some people, they shared with me that, you know, their friends stop inviting them to hangouts, and you're not able to be friends with them anymore because your friends aren't acting like friends to you anymore. Well, I think that maybe that might be an opportunity where, you know, some of those friends, they're actually still friends, but maybe they just feel uncomfortable about inviting you to some of the things that you used to do with them. And so you can still meet up with them one-on-one. You can still invite them out to a meal. You could still hang out with them, but maybe not necessarily in that group. So that might be the case where some people, they might treat you badly and they might say, look at you, you're a Christian now. You can't do this stuff anymore. Look at this. You can't do this anymore, right? And so some people might treat us badly in that kind of way. But another thought that might go through our minds, you might say, do they hate me? Pastor, you're saying that my friends would hate me or that the world would hate me, but do they hate me? I don't think they hate me. Let's think about this word hate that's used in the passage today. Okay, I was listening to some videos this past week of a guy who talks to a lot of Muslims, and he knows a lot about Islam, and so he tries to give a lot of answers. And man, he's really, really good at it. But in one of his talks, he ends up sharing about, you know, what does this word hate mean? And so when we look at another passage that he mentioned in Luke chapter 14, verse 26, it says this. This is Jesus. Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life. If you don't hate these people and you don't hate your own life, he says, he cannot be my disciple. Whoa. You have to hate your mother and your father and your brothers and sisters and your children? Jesus, what are you talking about right now, right? This is such a difficult teaching that if any of you look at the Chinese Bible, at the original Hehebun, if you guys know what I'm talking about, you guys know what I'm talking about. When you look at the original Bible, the Hehebun, the Chinese Bible, they actually changed the wording here so it doesn't use the word hate. Because it's such a strong term, right? But let's try to understand that a little bit. There's a similar idea that's found in Matthew. This is in Luke, but in Matthew it says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So when Jesus uses this word hate, it could mean hate, but it could also mean that you shouldn't love other things, other people in your life more than you love Jesus. There's a priority there, right? Just like we talked about in previous weeks, there's a priority where we need to love the people at church first and make the church a priority more than trying to love people outside of the church. Right? There is a priority that Jesus gives. And so Jesus says, you need to love me more than you love your parents or your children or your siblings. You need to even love me more than you love your own life. So that's a way that we can understand it. And when we see that the world, Jesus says the world will hate us, what that could mean is that the world will prefer other things more than they prefer hanging out with you or being your friend. And it could go all the way to the other side where they do actually hate you. Okay, it'll cover that whole range. So some of us might have these thoughts, you know, I want to testify, but what if my friends oppose me? They might treat me badly. What am I supposed to do there? Do they really hate me? I don't think they do. And some of us, we might say, but I really like my friends. You know, and am I supposed to not be friends with them anymore? Am I supposed to stay friends with them? What am I supposed to do? I really like my friends. And if I like my friends and I start to testify about Jesus Christ to them, they might feel uncomfortable. They might not like it. And if I share with them, then they might start to feel a distance between me and them. I really like my friends. I don't want to lose that friendship. And some of us might have this kind of thinking. I don't want to lose my friendship, so that's why I don't really want to share with them about Jesus. I mean, I want to, but you know, it might cause some trouble. It might cause some difficulty in our friendship. I don't know if I really want to do that. But this is something that we need to think about carefully. Because if you're saying that you would prefer to stay friends with these people and you don't want any type of issue or problem with these people that you call your friends, and in doing so, you decide, that's why I'm not going to obey God's word. I'm not going to testify. then in essence what you're saying is that you prefer to care and love your friends more than you love Jesus. And if we take that according to how Jesus says it, that means that you love your friends and that you hate Jesus. This is what it says in John 15, verse 19. If you were of the world would love you as its own. In other words, if you really want that friendship with your friends and you don't want them to feel this distance from you because you're sharing about Jesus Christ with them, maybe they'll come to believe. That'll be wonderful. But some of them won't. And you're afraid that your relationship with them is going to be broken. But if you want to keep that relationship more than obeying Jesus, and you find that your friends really do like you because of that, well, if you were of the world would love you as its own, Jesus says. But Jesus goes on and says, but because you are not of the world, but in fact, I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. So it's not because you're a Christian, but this is an idea that we've talked about in previous weeks. Jesus says, I chose you. I chose to love you. I chose to give you hope. I chose to give you life. I chose for you to come to know me. And this is why the world is going to hate you. This is where we might struggle. Because we might say, I want to testify, but I like my friends. And so the question comes down to, who do you love more? Who do you belong to? Once again, Jesus does say that he has chosen us, and the result is going to be that the world would hate us. Do you like that idea? Is that okay for you? Is it okay that you might end up having to lose your friends? Is it okay that you might end up having to lose your family? This is where we need to really ask this question, because this is what Jesus is saying. Who will you love more? Who do you love more? Because if you choose your friends, if you choose your family more than loving Jesus, if you choose your children more than you love Jesus, then Jesus says, the world will love you, and you are hating Jesus. What do we do about this? How do we think about this? Once again, Jesus is not a person and he's not a God that just leaves you and says, you better make the right decision. That's not what Jesus does. Jesus says, I love you, and I want to pour out my love upon you, and I want you to see clearly how much I love you. Even in this moment, if you reject me, even if you show that you hate me in this moment, I'm going to give everything so that you experience my love. And he demonstrated it by going to the cross for us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God shows his love for us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus says this in John 15. We looked at this passage last week in verses 13 and 14. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And then Jesus says, you are my friends. And I'm going to lay down my life for you. And then in John chapter 15, verse 26, he also says, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Why is this such a good thing? This is good because Jesus is saying, I'm going to send the Helper. And when you feel alone, when you feel abandoned, when you feel that no one cares about you, when you feel that no one is your friend, God will let you know that he is there for you, that he is your friend. He will help you to know that you are loved, that you are not abandoned, that God is with you. And it's not just the Spirit. It says the Spirit, he will send the Spirit to us from the Father, and the Spirit is the one who proceeds from the Father. And so, in other words, Jesus said in multiple places that he will be with us. He will reveal himself to us. So then the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit is with us through the Spirit. And so when we talk about us feeling alone, that might just be a feeling that we feel. But the truth is, what the Spirit of truth tells us, the thing that we need to hold on to, is that Jesus, our God, the Father and the Holy Spirit, is with us. We have a friend in Jesus. Jesus is going to be with us and help us, and he will never leave us or forsake us. And if that is the case, no matter how much the world might be against us, we can know and say with Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? The fact is that the world is going to hate us, so we can expect it. And Jesus calls us to testify, and there might be all kinds of reasons that we might see that it's difficult to testify, but Jesus is with us, and he says that he loves us and he cares about us, and he's going to give us all the support and strength and even the healing and protection that we need to continue to testify. And so then, as disciples, how do we begin to practice this? How do we begin to live this out? Because I'm sure we will still have that fear. You know, tomorrow when you go to work, when you go to school, there might be a situation where Jesus reminds you, I need to share with this person about Jesus. I want to share with this person about Jesus. And in that moment, you're going to have that struggle with all the important questions that are going through your mind. So how do we learn to actually live this out? Being a disciple means that we are learning from the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to talk about these things. Number one, learn that you can expect hate, and that's okay. Okay, that's the first thing. So we talked about what Jesus said. He said, you are going to be hated. A servant is not greater than his master. And so instead of thinking that you can go out and be friends with this world, change that way of thinking and say, you know, it's possible that people will not like me just because I'm a Christian. But it's okay. It's okay because Jesus is with me and he's my helper. He's going to protect me. He's going to guide me. He's going to strengthen me. He's going to guide me because he's my Lord. He's going to be with me. So it's okay even if people hate me. Second thing, learn that our response should not be to hate back. And so, you know, some people, they are experience the hate. Like this person that I was talking about, the person that was talking with Muslims, I think he's doing a great job in telling the truth about who Jesus Christ is. But you know what happens sometimes when you're trying to defend Christianity? A lot of times what ends up happening is that we begin to feel the hate from the other person, and then we begin to give hate back. But that's not what Jesus did. What Jesus ended up doing was, instead of giving hate back, he received the hate and was crucified on the cross, and that's what brought salvation. And so instead of responding back with hate, we want to have a better response for the people. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 16, it says this, now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. What is Peter saying here? Peter is saying, expect the hate, but be ready to give a good response. Do it with respect and gentleness. And do the right thing. Have a good conscience about it. And so that even if they do hate you, you don't have to be afraid. They might end up hurting you. But it's going to be okay, because this is how you honor Christ, and actually it puts those people that hurt you to shame. In Jude chapter 1, verse 3, it also talks about this idea of being able to explain what you believe in and to be able to stand up for the truth. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that once for all delivered, that was once for all delivered to the saints. Okay, so here Jude is also saying, I wanted to talk with you about the gospel, but I felt like I needed to really share with you guys about how we need to defend the faith. And so instead of responding back with hate, instead of responding back with all kinds of name-calling and saying that they're bad and they're fools for not believing in Jesus Christ, instead of responding in this kind of way, we want to respond with something good, sharing with them about Jesus and why Christianity makes so much more sense than anything else out there. There's a field called apologetics, a field of study called apologetics. And some of you have heard of this word before, some of you have not. This word does not mean that you study how to say sorry to the world. This word means, like, you're not trying to learn how to apologize, right? But this word is about how do we defend Christianity. And there's a lot of stuff out there. I encourage you, go to the internet, just look up the word apologetics. There's so many resources out there, how to respond to cults, how to respond to Muslims, how to respond to atheists, how to respond against some of the best arguments that you might have heard against Christianity. So begin to look at it. You know, at nighttime, instead of watching that Korean drama, look at videos about apologetics. You can look at Korean drama too. The next thing is to hold dearly to Christ. Because there's a lot of times that we might try to share about Jesus with others, and then we feel like we're not good enough. Or sometimes we feel like we don't have the answer. Or we feel afraid because we don't know what they're going to do to us. Right? We feel afraid about going on missions to some places in this world because we don't know what might happen to us. But this is where Jesus has told us, even in the last sermon, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. Hold dearly to Jesus and what he's taught us. Hold dearly to his truth. As the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit is working in your heart and giving you reminders. You know that's not right. You know that's not right. And your heart is responding with all kinds of emotions and fears. But I'm afraid. I don't want them to not like me. But I don't want to feel like I'm a failure, or I don't want people to look down on me as if I'm not an intellect because I'm a Christian. And all these emotions come up. But the Spirit of truth will remind you in those moments, this is the truth. Hold on to it. Jesus is with you. What you believe in is the truth. There's no other truth out there. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And you hold on to that. And you say, no matter how I feel, Jesus, I want to hold on to you and what you've taught me. So help me, Lord, to do that. And the last thing is to learn to testify with Jesus' love. And so instead of responding with hate, and instead of just responding with all the arguments about why Christianity is good, actually we can respond to people out there with Jesus' love. Because that's exactly what Jesus did for us. When we were still sinners, when we were still hating God, he responded to us with love. And so, even though the world hates us, we can continue to testify about Jesus Christ and respond with love. Even as I say this, maybe some of us, we struggle with the fact of being afraid that some people will respond with hatred, with not liking us anymore. We're still afraid of that. And so I wanted to show a video to you guys now about how to understand this when the feelings, the emotions of hurt come up.
Hello.
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 How are you guys?
Very well. So tell me you are, where are you from?
My name is Iam Tongi, and I'm from Kahuku, Hawaii.
Iam Tongi.
Tongi. You pronounce the T's like a D in the Tongi culture.
Yeah. Tong. So tell us about, how did you get here?
Well, I grew up in Kahuku, which is in Oahu. And I recently, like 3 years ago, I moved to Seattle.
Hey.
So it's not the same, but it's...
Why on earth would you leave Hawaii?
You got priced out of paradise, and
I get it.
Got to move to state.
We're gonna get you priced back in Hawaii.
Yeah, you gonna go back
any
in?
Chance.
I think you should buy.
Where's your family?
Most of my mom's siblings are two siblings. I have family in Hawaii, but we all live in Seattle. My dad passed away a couple of months ago.
Sorry, buddy. So who got you into?
My dad.
He's the reason for all.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Rodney. Rodney, yeah.
I could tell it meant a lot to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I got it, man. What are you gonna do for us? Take your time. Okay, man. You know, when you love deeply, you feel so deeply.
Yeah.
And so what you just given us right now is the fact you love that man so much. Okay,
yeah.
We're there.
There's only be seen is a song. It's called Monsters.
Monsters, okay.
Yeah, it's a song dedicated to my dad.
All right. You want to take a moment? You all right?
Yeah. I'm good. You got to be a little...
Before they turn off all the lights, I won't read you your wrongs or your minds. Time has come. Tell you good night, close. I'll tell you I love you once more. Time is gone. I'm your eyes. Don't be afraid. It's my turn.
The comments. I don't care what society has to say about fathers. This young man is an example of what it looks like when it all goes right with a father and his son. And then another comment. I'm not crying. You're crying. 60-year-old man here. Pure love. Another comment. As fathers, we can only pray that our children love us this much. Another comment. Nah, I was good up until a bug landed in my right eye. Two bugs, I guess, one in each eye, but I'll be okay. And a last comment here. When you lose father, you lose strength. When you lose father, you lose direction. When you lose father, you lose an extra layer of protection. Why is this so emotional? Some of us, we had great fathers and are moved by the video because we remember our father. Some of us, we didn't have great fathers, and maybe some of us, we just had terrible fathers. But it still moves us because that's what we saw was the kind of father that we're looking for. And some of us, we didn't have fathers at all. But once again, we long for that kind of love. We long for that type of closeness. Someone that's able to protect us. Someone that's able to be there for us. Someone to be a foundation for us. Well, as Christians, no matter how much the world hates us, our God is our Father. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to survive on your own. There are dangers in the world. There are monsters. But you have a Father in heaven because Jesus Christ and this triune God is with you through the Holy Spirit who proceeds from the Father and sent by Jesus, the Spirit of truth. Let's pray together. Lord, we know that we don't have to be afraid because you are with us. You are our foundation. You are our God. Jesus, you told us that the world would hate us. But Lord, with the love that we receive from you, help us, Lord, to respond to this world's hate with your love. And Lord, for some of us that feel afraid, help us to find courage and strength because of how you are with us, Lord. I pray in Jesus Christ's name.